In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. This is the great line. It's a very reassuring word of hope from Jesus. But it isn't just about, like, you often hear this at funerals, right? And it's not just about us going and having a place in heaven. That's lovely and good. But Jesus is doing something else here as well. He is reminding us of a couple of things. One of the things he's reminding us of is that there's only one other place in John's gospel where he talks about my Father's house. And that's earlier on in chapter 12, I believe it is, where Jesus is he goes into the temple and he sees everybody in there. They're making a market of the temple, right? They have to have money exchanged because certain money can't go into the temple and certain money can. And animals can't be brought from a long distance, so they have to be bought and sold there at the temple. He goes in and he says, my Father's house, you have made my Father's house a marketplace. And he runs them all out of the temple. So when he says my Father's dwelling place, it's the same word, dwelling place, house or dwelling place. When he says that here in our part of the text, he's referring, there is a reference there to the temple. There's an echo of the temple, right? Which is where it was believed that God dwelled. But what Jesus seems to be saying here is that there are many places that God dwells. And in fact, what he's saying is he will dwell in you just as he dwells in me. And that you all will become living temples. This is what he is telling his disciples and is what he is telling us. That we will become the living temple of God. The dwelling place. The abiding place, the place where God hangs out, is in and with you and me. That's astonishing. That is beautiful. It's also hard. It's hard partly because if God is dwelling in me and God is dwelling in you, then God is dwelling in people that we're not all that fond of. Right? They also are the dwelling place of God. Right? So, I think it was Friday, and there was a guy I hadn't seen in a couple of years who had moved back to Chelan. He came from Seattle, and he came and he felt very prophetic. He was telling me, he said, I've come from Seattle, and he said, and I'm going to tell you, Pastor Paul, those people are coming for Christianity. They want to destroy Christianity. And I'm like, who? What people? And he was talking about, you know, the woke left and the communists and these folks. And they all want to come, and they're all coming for Christianity. And they're coming here. And I said, okay. They can come. And I had this sense, I wanted to tell them, like, you know, really, there's nothing much. If people want to come after Christianity, let them come after Christianity. It's fine. We've survived 2,000 years. We'll be okay. But he was not. We didn't like that answer. And so he said, "No, but you mark my words, you know, and all this stuff." And at the end of it, afterwards, I thought about it and I thought, "Oh, well, now here's an interesting thing." And I thought about Stephen's martyrdom, right? And the point of all of that is that, you know what? If anybody is coming after Christianity, what they're going to do, if they're going to try to destroy us, stone us, or burn churches down, or whatever, what they're doing is reenacting the passion of Jesus. They're making a victim out of somebody who is not deserving of being a victim, right? And therefore exposing to everyone the gospel again. Just as Jesus on the cross exposed all of the mechanisms of the world, its murdering and its of innocence and its slaughter and its sacrifice of innocent people, that's what we saw when we saw Jesus on the cross. So it will be when or if people try to destroy the Christian faith or Christian people. Now, I'm looking at some people, and you're looking. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying here?
No.
You don't understand? So Jesus received the violence of the people who wanted to kill him, right? Right. And what did he say on the cross? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. And then when he was raised from the dead, he didn't come as one in vengeance. He came as one forgiving, which is exactly what we would reenact time and time again if we also are the victims of such violence, of people who don't like us, of people who hate us, of people who want to destroy us. And if they do that to us, we will reenact again the story of Jesus, and the gospel will grow again, and the people will see again what God's really like. If you have seen Jesus and his passion and his forgiveness, then you know what God is like. Forgiving. Long-suffering. That's who God is. So they will just expose who God is again. Just like happened in the stoning of Stephen. Where did all those people that were so mad and so angry and so self-righteous, what did they do? They laid their cloak at the foot of a guy named Saul. Right? And who did Saul become? Paul. The greatest proclaimer of the gospel, right? It was like